great to be in the midst of faithful followers of Christ. And faithful doesn't mean perfect. Right?
Yeah. Amen.
No, last 2 weeks ago, Dre, aka Future, and you want to know why I call him that? He can tell you. But it's amazing how we can create this own version of Christianity. And it's mixed with a little bit of humanism. And I just love to see how, when you understand the Bible, when you understand this relationship with God and you make it personal, then you look at life very different, like Rebecca just described. Everyday experiences connect you in your walk with God. And that is super exciting to see and hear. And again, to hear the Clarks talk about, you know, Crystal being 37. Again, I'm not putting anything out there, but I remember when she was 10. And maybe even younger than that. But it's beautiful to be in this family, to be in this village, to be in this fellowship. And so again, if you're visiting on Zoom, thank you for being here. I know we got a little bit of feedback that you couldn't see us last week, so now we're in the shade, we're in the sunlight, so hopefully you're getting this. So I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to get there in a minute. You know, last week we asked the question, are you craving this world or are you changing this world? Because the world will and is having an impact on us, or we are having an impact on the world. And that all goes back to what we ultimately decide and not what we ultimately do. And if we strive for righteousness, if we strive for peace, if we strive for love, then we are going to be about God's purpose that he put us here for. And in fulfilling his purpose, things are going to be different. Your light is going to shine brightly, and it's going to impact those around you. And they're going to want to know, why are you not laughing at that dirty joke? Why are you not participating like the rest of us? Why is that not funny to you? Because you have purpose. And so today I want to talk about heart. Heart over habit. Are you with me?
Amen.
All right, let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you again for all that you are doing, the way that you're working. And I pray that you would help the lesson today to inspire us to think about why we do what we do. But more importantly, I pray we listen to Jesus's words. I pray that we understand his word, and I pray that we apply it to our lives, and that we will then continue to work and ask you to change the thing that only you can change, because nothing can affect and change our hearts except you. God, we love you, and we pray all of this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
When we love God with all of our hearts, we will have the capacity to love people wholeheartedly and live out the exciting destiny that God has for each one of us. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, and this is the TBT version, true love for God means obeying his commands. And his commands don't weigh us down as heavy burdens. See, sometimes you you meet people who are church going good people, and they seem so unhappy. They seem so uninspired because they're carrying this burden of what they have to do because of their relationship with God. We're going to look at a parable this morning that I hope inspires you. And it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. See, Jesus made it clear that what God is after, what God is looking for, is our heart, not our religious behavior or our ability to look a certain way. See, this story is really encouraging for those who may feel intimidated or even frustrated about trying to be a Christian because they can't get the behavior right. So Jesus, what he does is he contrasts the religious leaders who may have looked good on the outside but had a really bad heart. And he contrasts that with this good Samaritan who didn't follow any religious rules, who didn't have the Bible as their standard, but he had a heart that really cared about other people. And see, one of the things that we're going to learn from this story is how to have a heart for others. Instead of creating religious habits, we're going to talk about how to become compassionate. And you can become compassionate. You may think, oh, that's just not me. I'm not built that way. I'm not wired that way. No, that may be true. But you can learn how to become compassionate by putting yourself in someone else's shoes.
Amen.
You and I can do that. You can actually stop, believe it or not, and stop thinking about you. Stop thinking about what you feel. Stop thinking about what somebody else did to you. And put yourself in someone else's shoes and learn, wow, what might that feel like if I was in that position? And we can learn how to redefine what it means to be good. And let me just give you a little nugget, or as the young people say, a cheat code. Is that right? Cheat code.
Close enough.
Hey man, I tried. I'm trying to connect it all. But let me say, I'm gonna give you this free one. Good has to do with gratitude, not good behavior. See, Jesus wants us to not only experience God's love for ourselves, but he also wants to help us help others experience it. And you know, when you love God with all your heart, you will have the capacity to love others wholeheartedly and live out this exciting destiny that God has in store for you personally. So whether you're a college student, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a preteen, whether you're a fourth grader or what have, God has a plan for you to live out a destiny that he actually created for you. But you know, again, it goes back to our relationship with God. I want you to ask yourself this question. What do you think God cares about most? What does he care about most? And then after that question, what do you think he wants most from you? And how does that affect the way that you feel toward him? So, let's get this party started. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible reads, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Again, Luke 10, 25. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this, and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Have you ever tried to find a loophole to get around a rule that you didn't want to follow? If you understand and relate, that's what this guy is doing. He's trying to say, well, how can I get around and convince myself about who my neighbor is and who my neighbor isn't? And so he tried to justify himself. He wanted to get away with not loving everybody. So he's looking, seeing, who is my neighbor? And it showed something immediately. He didn't have the heart that Jesus was talking about. Habits and actions that we do so repetitively that we don't even have to think about can be detrimental to us. Because when you don't think about it, you're just going through the motions. God wants us to have a heart that wants to be close to him and not just do what we have to do. Say what we have to say. Act how we have to act. You know, finding loopholes is often easier than actually doing the right thing. And that's why we look for them. See, this religious expert wanted to figure out how little he could get away with instead of figuring out how to change his heart to match what God was asking of him. And so making a rule for himself about who he had to love probably seemed easier to him than truly loving other people as much as he loved himself. In the long run, changing our hearts is much better and makes life much easier than creating a habit that we have to follow. Growing up, I did not like math. And part of doing math meant repetition. You with me?
Yes, sir.
I remember hating with deep passion word problems. Numbers were one thing. Now you throw the words in there with the numbers. We got a problem. Fractions. Honestly, I just figured out fractions at about 35. I was like, oh, that's what that means. Oh my gosh. Amen. But when I look back, I would remember my teacher saying, hey, Russ, do you understand? And I would go, yes, because that got me out to the playground faster. And what I realized is that it was a loophole. I was so amped and eager to get out and play rather than sit down and learn and say, Mr. Dubowski, I did not get that. Can you explain it again? Or class is over, recess. Mr. Dubowski, can you explain that to me once? Because I understand this part, but I didn't get that part. Can you help me out? Well, because I didn't do that, man, I performed poorly with math. And the funny thing is, when I got to college, I got to get more serious about this because I want to just do it. I want to learn it. And I remember what was different was that I began to practice, i.e. do my homework over and over again. And you know what happened? It got easier, but I still didn't like it. But I learned how to do it. You know, when you look for loopholes, you only make it harder. And because I didn't have the endurance, because I didn't have the stamina, because I didn't have the focus, and yes, I would have been one of those kids that was ADHD because he just couldn't sit still and pay attention. But guess what? Through repetition, I ultimately learned. And I realized, wow, I can sit still for 45 minutes. I can be quiet for 5 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes. See, the religious leader had some of my traits. Jesus wanted to teach him why our hearts matter more than perfecting our religious habits. See, making a religious habit of acting good around people, that is a shortcut. That's a shortcut. And this may be easier in the moment than to truly love God and other people. But guess what? Our spiritual stamina will quickly run out. We won't be able to stick with people very long in relationships. Because relationships inevitably involve imperfect people. And then we have to learn to love unselfishly if we want to have relationships that last. If we're trying to act right instead of genuinely loving God and loving others, we're going to get weary. And we're not going to live out God's destiny that he's called us to. We're going to get tired of doing the good as soon as the going gets tough. Or we hit an obstacle. Like somebody disagrees with us. That's a problem. You need to see it my way. And we haven't learned to respect and appreciate somebody else's perspective. But see, if we learn to have a genuine heart for God and for other people, our love will drive us forward no matter what we're up against. Genuine love doesn't give up. And it doesn't quit. So if we want to become the people God wants us to be, we need to develop a loving heart instead of a loving image. Are you with me? Yeah. See, what is something that you have to continually, or what is something that you continually try to change by fixing your habits, but you fail? Is it your attitude? Maybe when your parents say, can you pick up your clothes and not leave it in the bathroom? Is it your negative thoughts when you see someone's weakness? Is it your desires? What is it? What would it look like to change your heart in these different areas of life? To change your heart about finances, to change your heart about giving to the poor, about serving other people. What would it look like? And why would God care more about our hearts than our habits? Why would he care more about that? Let's keep reading. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant, Levite, maybe in your Bible, walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed over to the other side. You know, it would be natural to expect a priest, a Levite, or a temple assistant to be the people to help the man who had just been beaten and robbed. Because they were good people. They were churchgoers. However, the Bible says they walked right by. You know, we may not commonly see someone beaten and robbed and bleeding in our daily lives. We may not come across that. However, there are many people. I'm going to say this again. Many people who are beaten mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. There are people robbed of hope and the possibility to change issues in their lives, beaten by life's difficulties and hardship. People like this walk by us, sit next to us on a daily basis, but we won't know that someone is going through something unless we do one key thing. What is that? Ask. See, we encounter these people just like the people in Jesus' parable did. By chance. There is a by chance in our lives every day. At your school. At your job. In your neighborhood. On the playground. The priest, the temple assistant, had a religious heart. They looked good on the outside and they did the right things. But when it came to what really mattered to God, which was loving people, they weren't able to do it. They saw the man beside the road as a problem. See, in their minds, people equal problems. Can you relate?
Yes, sir.
See, we, you know what we do as humans, right? We avoid problems. Why? Because I got my own problems. They saw the man by the road as a problem to avoid, not an opportunity. See, it's very easy to be religious like the priest and the temple assistant. We can go to church. We can go to Bible talk. We can go to Depot. We can go over here. We can do that. We can be an evangelist. We can be a Bible talk leader. We can be an elder. We can be all of these roles, follow the rules, avoid the sins, do all of the right things, but have no love for people on our hearts and minds. Unwilling to pick up the phone when somebody's calling because we think we know what they're going to talk about or what they're going to ask. Be unwilling to call and just say, hey, I didn't see you at service today. Is everything okay? You know, that's one of the things I love about the kingdom. I learned that from Ted Gill. I became a Christian at NJIT and we had midweek and I was a new disciple. And I was on the court doing my thing, you know, and I got out of the gym late and I was like, oh man. You know what? It's already 7 o'clock. I gotta go to Jersey City, catch the PATH train, walk up. Man, I might as well not even show up. You know, I'll see them next week. I see them on Sunday. I got this phone call about 8. Hey, bro. Where you at? Oh, man, I was sweating. I was it. You know, I got here late. I can't. He said, well, there's plenty of time. You know, fellowship. Everybody's here. Oh. Oh, so that's what devoted to the fellowship meant. I scurried my little self up, took a shower, got up, had the best time of my life.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow. You didn't yell at me. He just reminded me of what that meant. See, we have to realize when we don't do something because we don't feel like it, that's not following Jesus. That's following our feelings. Which is not following Jesus. Our lives should get away from that. When we feel stuff, we should be going, uh-oh, I'm going down that path of self-winning instead of Jesus winning. See, Jesus says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded, and surely I'll be with you always to the end of the earth. See, I know a lot more could happen if that one principle was practiced. How I feel, okay, great, but what's the right thing to do here? All right, see, when we see people around us and do nothing to help, that impacts not just us, but our relationship with God. Ignoring the needs of people around us requires something to happen inside of us. And you know what that is? That is a hardening of our hearts. Because we choose, I'm not going to do that. And we got to harden our hearts. We got to avoid feeling guilty or feeling something. So our relationship with God becomes void of emotion. And it becomes stale. Because we're not letting him in. All of our problems then seem bigger than they really are. Because our thoughts and our minds are on one thing. Us. We're first. Everybody else, everything else is second. Now don't get me wrong. You can't live life walking past every homeless person. Okay, let me get you together. And let me do this. You won't get to work. You won't do what you got to do. And we can't be emotionally affected and, you know, by everything. That's not what I'm saying. And I think we understand that. That's not reasonable. However, if we don't plan to reach friends, neighbors, if we don't plan and set a time aside to sit down, I want to study the Bible with someone this week, and I'm going to do it this time. I'm setting that time aside. Hey, this is what I'm going to give to special contribution. I'm setting that aside. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to designate this time to call, follow up with my friend, or follow up with that dinner, or whatever. Because of our lives, and because things are so busy, it won't happen if we don't set it up. If you've gotten so comfortable that you don't even think that way, that's where you got to change your mind. And you got to say, I got to set this up. I was talking with some of the young single men, and I said, guys, Thursday night, 7:30 to 8:30, we're having a Bible study. So don't plan anything else. And they were like, okay. Next week came. What happened? Just came up. That they didn't set it in. Say, let's try it again next week. Next week, they all showed up. Why? Because they planned it. They set it aside. Now, that might be hardcore, whatever you want to call it. It happened because they set it aside. Same thing for us. We have to do that. We, me included, can get so focused on our own responsibilities that we don't slow down to look at our neighbors and love them. Since God is loving, we won't be able to be very close to him if we refuse to love others. See, think about it this way. What if you had a friend who devoted a lot of their life to playing baseball, but you refuse to get to know anything about baseball or talk about baseball or watch their games or their practices? Your relationship with that person would probably suffer. You would miss a lot of time and connection with your friend, and you probably wouldn't even be very close because baseball isn't a significant part of your life. See, caring about people matters to God. Being his friend means it should matter to us. If we spend all of our time caring about ourselves, thinking about ourselves, thinking about what we want, thinking about where we're going and doing all of those things, there's no room for what matters to God. And our relationship with him is going to suffer. See, think about this. Have you been taking time to get to know the people that you meet by chance? Right? See, what are some of the ways that I justify not taking time to care for others? That's happening. You got to think about that question. Because there's an answer that you can overcome when you realize this is what's going on. Lastly, verse 33, we're going to wrap this up. It says, then a despised Samaritan, John 10:33, a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Like the religious leaders, the Samaritan also saw the man who was beaten and robbed. The difference was he actually felt something for him and was moved with compassion. The Samaritan had all the reasons to not stop and help. See, back in those days, the Jews hated Samaritans and looked down on them. And I love that Jesus made the beaten man a Jew, because it made it even more of an amazing story that the Samaritan would stop and do this. If any of the 3 people to walk past the man had a reason to not stop and help, it would have been the Samaritan. But his heart was different. His heart was different. Instead of seeing the man as a problem to avoid, he saw the man as a person that needed love. The Samaritan put himself in the man's shoes. Remember? He put himself in the man's shoes and chose to feel what the man must have felt, even if it was painful. It's not that he didn't have anything else to do or was less busy or had more of a reason to help. The only difference was his heart. The first step in loving someone is actually allowing yourself to feel what the other person is feeling. Let me tell you, that is not easy to do, because some of us have a hard time knowing what we're feeling. Right? Let me tell you what's dangerous about what I just said for me. You know, growing up, You weren't supposed to feel and talk about your feel. Oh, you, oh, I got this. Oh. No. You get back up, boy. You get out there. You push past your feelings. Even if you feel something, you suck it up. That's not healthy. I realized that at 48. No, but seriously, putting myself in someone else's shoes, and maybe that someone else is a female that isn't athletic and they're artsy.
I am too athletic.
That. Okay, now okay. Hey, boom, we're gonna need some counseling right after service. Lori, meet us over by the bathroom. If I put myself in her shoes, I ask myself this question. What I would have felt if I went through what this person went through, and how would I have responded? That is part of how you learn to have compassion. You know, that's a question, though, that you have to ask God. That's something that God can help us with. Because, again, we can get very disconnected. So you're saying, hey, I don't do well with, you got to ask God to do that. Because he can help you. God can give you the perspective that you need to have so that you can be compassionate with the people around you. God can give us that. God can change hearts and help us. See, if we want to be loving and compassionate, but don't know how, one thing that you and I can do is pray for our friends and put ourselves in their shoes. And God can give us a new heart if we ask him.
Amen.
Let me ask you this question. I know I'm asking a lot of questions. Who needs you to dig deeper, pray, and understand them? Who needs you to dig deeper, to pray, to understand them? See, because that's part of what makes life really exciting in Christ. And like this Samaritan, look at verse 36. Now Jesus says, and this is beautiful, he says, now which of these three, because you know Jesus didn't necessarily like telling people unless he had to, he asked them questions. Which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked the man, the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then he said, yes, go now and do the same. See, the religious expert thought that he could be good in God's sight if he followed a set of rules. According to him, the Samaritan was the unclean, the impure one, flawed and inferior to him. Yet Jesus calls the Samaritan good, showing us that being good is about loving, not following the rules. You might think that because you struggle to act like a good Christian or to do all the things you think Christians are supposed to do, you can't be one. But actually, our hearts matter more than our religious behaviors. Jesus asked us to be like the Good Samaritan, having compassion on and loving others, and that our religious behavior, how we look to people, or the title that we may have, doesn't matter. Gratitude is a powerful motivator. See, when we are truly grateful, things don't feel so hard. A grateful heart overflows with appreciation. Gratitude for Jesus' love for us is what should motivate us to no longer live for ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who live his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. See, Jesus' love, he loved each and every one of us enough to give up his life for us so that we could have eternal life, even though we don't deserve it. When we really appreciate that, when that is sinking in and getting us up out of bed, moving us over here, doing this, thinking a certain way, when that is going on, and we appreciate it, we want others to experience that too. We want our kids to experience that. We want our siblings to experience that. Let me ask you, do you see people in pain? Or do you get distracted by going through your happiness? What is something new that you learned about God in this story today? I know we've read it a thousand times. What's something new that we learned, that you learned about God from this story today? And lastly, who are you going to decide to love this week? Whoever that is, write their name down. I'm going to love this person this week. Amen. Because if we all start loving just one person, a lot of people are going to be getting some love, boy. Amen. There's going to be some smiling faces. You know, at the end of the day, God is looking for us to have a heart that wants to love him and others. God doesn't look for us to never sin, to be perfect, to be consistent. Yes, that's good, but that's not what he's after. It's about having the right heart, not having the perfect behavior. In fact, even in those times where we fell down, we're guilty, we feel worthless, we feel hopeless, God says, I choose you. And because of that, we should choose him.